verse 22 and following. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And he had came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Here ends the reading. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this afternoon, or this morning, is taken from the second chapter of St. Luke, beginning with verse 22. The young woman made her way through the streets of the city. It was a familiar route, one that the teenager had often traveled. For many years, she had followed her father on this route, and now she followed behind her husband. And as they drew closer to their destination, the road became more crowded, and she jostled with other pilgrims just to keep up. And it didn't help that her hands were kind of full. In one hand, she carried a cage that held two medium-sized birds, pigeons or doves, like the law said. And on her other side, it seemed like everybody on every side kept bumping into her, she squeezed her tiny newborn tightly in the vise of her arm, like all new mothers of all times and all places carry their little ones. As she drew near, the smells in her nostrils became more intense. And as she entered into the building, the aroma of the incense struggled mightily and mostly unsuccessfully to overcome the smells that she would smell on the killing floor of a slaughterhouse. The noises emanating from scores of animals and people filled her ears like they always did when she came to this place. She had been there before, to be sure, but this was the first time she was there for this purpose. Today, the young woman had come along with her husband to present her firstborn child to God and for her to receive the rite of purification for a woman after the birth of a child. Blood and suffering are often found together, and there is suffering in childbirth, but after a time that goes away, and then comes the rite of purification. O Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Those familiar words are spoken to God, and he is called Lord. But the word here is not the typical word for Lord, Kyrios, but instead it's the word despotes, from which our word despot comes, and the word means that the speaker of those words is offering total submission to God. In this act of total submission to God, the speaker is asking for a rare thing. He's asking to be dismissed in peace. Most of the translations say that he asked God, let your servant go. But more accurately, he's asking if I may please be dismissed. May I please be dismissed from this life? Like a student would ask a teacher to be dismissed from after school detention. The man asked that his dismissal may be in peace. That's the Hebrew word shalom. It means everything is right with the world. He wants to be asked to be dismissed in peace. And who asks for that anyway? What kind of person asks to die? And who can act like everything is right in the world in the asking of that? Well, a lot of people. A lot of people ask that permission to be dismissed in peace. A lot of people. And some of those people even ask, I wonder why God is keeping them so long in the detention of an aging body and a nursing home. They ask for that. They ask for that all the time in their prayers. And sometimes they verbalize it. Lord, now dismiss your servant in peace. The child was a male child, and so the woman and her husband waited until he was 40 days old, like it says in the 12th chapter of Leviticus, to wait 40 days. Every mother thinks her own child is a special child, but this mother knew it about her child. She knew for a fact who the child's father was, and the meaning of her child had been explained to her by angels, and more thoroughly by one of her relatives, whose husband was a priest. Still, the baby was a fully human baby. And he did what babies do. And she did what mothers of babies do. When he fussed, either you fed him, or you changed him, or you put him down for a nap. When a new mother went for the rite of purification, like this mother was doing, you would always bring the baby with to present it to God. It's called the rite of presentation, and this ritual goes back to the time when the angel of death spared her Hebrew ancestors while slaying every firstborn of the Egyptian families, animals included. God had, since then, on several occasions, reminded his people about what he had done for them and what they owed him for it, their firstborn sons. In the greater context, the rite of purification was a reminder of the birth of their nation, the Exodus, and the entrance into Canaan, the promised land. Yeah, there's a reason given why one would like to be dismissed from the detention of this life in peace. The man gives a reason for wanting to be dismissed in peace. He says, "For I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace." The man asked to be dismissed in peace because he thinks that something better is waiting on the other side, and he has seen that something with his own eyes. And the thing that the man has actually seen with his eyes has actually been a person, a little person. And the man's talk of the glory of your salvation is a figure of speech in which a party is used for the whole or the whole for the part. It's called a synecdoche. When a reporter quotes the White House, nobody thinks that an actual White House on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. spoke. Everybody knows that it means that the guy who lives there said something. And the man here saw with his own two eyes a person. And he recognizes in that person, in the part, the whole, that in the person is found much more. In that one person is found the very salvation of God from sin, death, and Satan. The priest was waiting for the woman and the child when they got there. And the priest is described as being righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was waiting for her because he was in possession of insider information. It says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And the priest watched the woman as she followed her husband, caged birds in one hand, the child in the other, as she made her way through the court of women and climbed the steps to the Nicanor gate, and there she waited for him. He had been led by the Spirit, it says, into the temple, his workplace on this day at this time, and he walked over to her. He said some words. He sprinkled her with water. She gave him money and the birds, and he went away. A light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. In the person of the child, held in the arms of the priest, is embodied the salvation of God. And this Jewish priest now proclaims that the salvation embodied in the body of that infant is a light leading the Gentiles as well as the Jews, to the holy hill. That is the location of the presence of God among his people, the temple. And lo and behold, he says even Israel can be saved. You know, there has never been a question in either the Jewish religion or in the Christian religion that came out of Judaism that Jews who believed in Christ before he came would be saved. There has actually never been a question either in the Jewish religion or the Christian religion that came out of Judaism that Gentiles, that is, non-Jews, could be saved. It's just that some of the Jews at the time of Jesus had forgotten that Jews too could, that Gentiles too could be saved by believing in the Christ. The Jewish priest who spoke these words apparently remembered. But even more profound to some of his hearers than the idea that Gentiles could be saved is the idea that Israel could be saved. Israel, who had by the 8th century BC been behaving badly for quite some time, and who had been given ample opportunity to repent, and who had not, and who had therefore ceased at the hands of the Assyrians to exist as a people, that those rascals could be saved was to them kind of odd, but that certainly is good news for us. Good news for us because you and I are Gentile, and you and I are also included in the lost sheep of Israel. And we note that when he grows up into manhood, the child that the priest is holding in his arms will take a special interest in the lost sheep of Israel, who after 700 years had been scattered into every bloodline on the face of the earth. And add another 2 millennia to that scattering, and it includes ours. We are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's us. That's good news for us, that salvation comes to us in the Christ. The priest left the woman, put the money in the place where the money goes, killed the birds, then came back and sprinkled some of the blood from the birds on the woman. He then took the baby from her arms and held it in his own, and he was supposed to say some words, but instead of the words he was supposed to say, he said these words, "O Lord, now dismiss your servant in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace, a light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel." And it says that Mary and Joseph marveled. They marveled. And the word marvel doesn't quite do it. They couldn't believe what they were hearing. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. They couldn't believe that Simeon had just said that about their son. And Simeon the priest blessed the Holy Family, probably the Aaronic benediction, which we likewise say at the end of our service, which has been around since, well, Aaron was a brother to Moses. And now Simeon the priest says to Mary, the mother of the child, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and a sign that is spoken against." What was it? About 40 days that we saw that word sign, semion, a miraculous thing. The angel telling the shepherds about the return of the glory of the Lord and saying, "This will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in rags and whatever old cloth we can find, lying in a manger." And speaking of that same infant who's now, what, about 40 days old, Simeon as well calls him a sign, a miraculous thing, and says that it will be spoken against. And during his lifetime he was, and often in the most vehement way. When Jesus, who was miraculously born, does miracles, the believers believe and the others speak against him, calling him every name in the book, speaking and then finally doing, seeking to kill him. And the final words of Simeon the priest are that a long, pointy, two-edged weapon will go through your heart and her heart also, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. So he talks about this two-edged, long, pointy weapon, and it's going to go through her heart. And the only woman there is Mary. And indeed, it pierced her to the very core of her motherhood to see the abuse that will be heaped upon her son. And a long, pointy weapon, double-edged, will go through your heart also, he says. Well, who's he talking about there? There's only one person present in that group whose heart was pierced by a long, pointy, double-edged weapon. It never happened to Mary. It never happened to Joseph. It never happened to Simeon. It did happen to Jesus, and both Matthew and John record that as the adult hung on the cross, a long, pointy, double-edged weapon was indeed plunged into his heart. Blood and water came out. Make no mistake about it, he died on that cross, and John tells us that both blood and water poured out, and for a reason. John the Baptizer called him the Lamb of God, and indeed he was the sacrificial lamb who was sacrificed on the altar of the cross to pay for the sins of all people of all times and in all places, and he did. And so mothers no longer need to bring birds and have their blood shed in the temple. Jesus, the Lamb of God, has made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And it is for that reason, because of who he is, that he is the Lamb of God, that the church has from the beginning, during our services, chanted to the Lamb of God, not once but twice during divine service, at the Gloria, and again at the Agnus Dei, it means Lamb of God, right before we receive the body and blood of Jesus in that bread and wine that embody our salvation. And so also, when leaving the place where we see with our very eyes, like Simeon saw with his very eyes the salvation of all people, we sing Nunc Dimittis, Simeon's song, Lord, dismiss us in peace. I like our new hymnal. We got a new hymnal several years ago. I like it. The more I see of it, the better I like it. On page 58 of the agenda, there is a short service called The Blessing of a Mother After Childbirth. And that simply has a reading and a prayer for new mothers. And that little agenda item would fit nicely right before baptism, which fits nicely at the beginning of the service. And it has also included this Nunc Dimittis, this Song of Simeon, in the liturgies at the time of the death of a Christian. This Song of Simeon is included in the commendation of the dying. It's included in the funeral service at church, and it's also included in the service said at the cemetery. It's almost like by doing that, we're saying that the Christian who has just died has just been dismissed from detention that is this life, and is now feasting continually on the heavenly feast with the woman, her husband, the priest, and the child, Jesus, front and center. And it seems like that because, well, it is like that. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We pray the Lord's Prayer.